For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to Believe in the Ivy League, a look inside the ancient eight teams in the Ivy League and their upcoming games with all of the stats, trends, and analysis that you want to hear. And now, here's your host, Tom Barton.
All right, guys, welcome back to Believe in the Ivy League. I am Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. Go check me out at TomBartonSports.com. Tom Barton Sports over on YouTube as well, and on the X, on Twitter, social media. It's Tom Barton Sports. Guys, here it is, the Ivy League Conference Tournament. It is all set, and we are ready to go. We are not going back and looking at last week. We're not going to go back and look at the games that, look, it's nice. It was nice games by those teams and way to end off the season in some positions. Okay, great. Doesn't matter. We're looking forward and all eyes forward. Over in New York, 11 a.m. Saturday start. Princeton takes on Brown. Yale takes on Cornell. Princeton gets the one seed overall. Brown gets the four seed overall. And then Yale and Cornell. Let's break this down because it is a real interesting Final Four this year. Before the year began, this is not a surprising Final Four. I think it's surprising how we got here, though. And I want to take a look at each and every team. Before the year began, how we kind of arrived at this spot, I don't think people would have guessed it, right? I mean, it's just not a situation that you would have imagined that some of these teams would have had. The reality is the type of season that they did have. Some of these teams were up and down. We're going to talk about the ups and downs of the season for each one of these teams. And you can see that generally speaking, you look at this and you go, there were times where I believed every one of these teams could win the tournament. Every one of these teams is going to be standing out on top. Every one of these teams has what it takes to be that team. Every single one of them, I truly do believe that. There were also times where I was a little nervous about them. So we'll start off with the one seed. Let's take a look at Princeton. Princeton came out of the gate, right? They win 9 games in a row. They took down the likes of Hofstra, a Rutgers team. And Hofstra's not a great team, but they're solid. Rutgers team, they did beat a Furman team at home. They hit a little speed bump against St. Joe's where they lost on the road. And then they went off and they rattled off 6 more wins. So this was the team. They entered the Ivy League tournament or the Ivy League conference play just as the team. They were dominant. They were a top 25 team for some time there. You look at what they've done. Lee with almost 18 points and 4 rebounds a game. Caden Pierce hitting 55% from the field. I mean, just fantastic metrics all around. Playing defense, playing offense. The offense generally carried them. Then they came into a little bit of stumble. Look, they went on the road, and they didn't lose to Cornell. They actually got beat up pretty bad against Cornell. Back-to-back, then they lost against Yale. Both on the road, I get it. But those were the two stumbles along the way. They recovered nicely, beating Brown twice in 3 games. Penn sandwiched in between. Got their revenge at home against Yale. Went to Harvard and Dartmouth and got convincing wins with dynamic defenses that allowed 56 to 53 points. Beat up on Columbia, scoring 84. And then they got their revenge against Cornell in a 79-77 game to finish off the season. Put up 105 against Penn in an emphatic, emphatic way. Princeton is rolling. Princeton, you can argue, I think all year long, they were the best team in this conference. I don't know if many people are really going to push back. And when we talked about the conference, we kept talking about the importance of getting the number 1 overall seed because you wanted to play the 4s. The Harvards of the world were battling for a 4. Brown, wound up taking hold of it, but you saw who was going to be the 4 seed. It was going to be the weaker team. Yale and Cornell were battling, and there was a big three. Well, Brown is not exactly the pushover that we all believed. Let's go through their season. Look, 12-17, and they wound up finishing up fourth. They beat out Harvard. They beat out Columbia, who was 5-9, 4-10 in conference. They really, really came on late. This team struggled early on mightily. Came out of the gate losing three straight. Losing to Colgate in Colgate, no big deal. Look, Colgate's probably a tournament team, right? Loyola, two-point loss there. Then they got blown out by New Hampshire. And all of a sudden you go, oh, wait a minute. What are we going to do here? Well, Rhode Island College, doesn't matter. They get a nice win there. Go to USC, at the time, 16th-ranked team in the country. Get blown out, lose to Delaware. Come back, you beat up Kansas City, putting up 93 points. Lose to Ohio and Bryant at home in the downturn of their season, and then Maine. So you're talking about two three-game winning streaks in the first month and a half of the season. You're talking about losing 8 of their first 10 games, and one of those wins was not against a Division I team. The Brown season was spiraling out of control. The Brown season was just in peril. Another three-game losing streak as they entered Ivy League play. This is why you're starting to see the 12-17, right? You get into Ivy League play, you lose to Vermont by a point. You see the close games, but you get into Ivy League play, you take on Yale, 80-70, in a decent showing, and you lose. You barely beat Harvard the next week in Cambridge, 74-72, another tight game. Cornell, 84-83, you lose that one, tight game. You lose to Dartmouth, 75-71, tight game. And they beat up on Penn. Come back, another three-game losing streak, losing to Princeton, this same Princeton team twice, sandwiched by Columbia, who put up 83 on them. Princeton, 70-60, 72-63 in Princeton. And all of a sudden, the season was spiraling out of control. If you guys listen, that was it. Brown was done. I announced Brown's death on the air, I think, right? They were done. Then they go off and they rattle off after the double losses to Princeton, 2 and 3 games. Win against Penn in Penn. Real nice win. I know Penn wasn't a great team this year. Nice win. Beat Columbia in Columbia. Beat Cornell at Cornell. And their season started to turn around. 3 wins in a row, 3 games on the road. Boom. You come back at home. You get a nice win against Harvard. A nice 71-68 win. Tight win. But then you beat up on Dartmouth, scoring 89. Then you go to Yale. They went to Yale and they beat Yale. So now this team enters the tournament winning 6 games in a row. They've beaten Cornell and Yale at their place in 2 of the last 4 games. Harvard sandwiched in between. That was basically a playoff game during that span. They've put up 84-89 points 2 of the last 3 weeks. 78 to Cornell 2 games before that. Their offense is finding their groove. And you can see this Brown team, as the year went on, growing up. Lilly, 18 points a game and just about 3.5 assists per game. Absolutely fantastic. This isn't a one-man show. Aaron Cooley, you could talk about him with a three-pointer. Yeah, this is not a one-man show. This isn't a situation where you're looking at only one guy to get the ball at the end of the game, because Cooley hit the three-pointer, right? The final seconds against Yale, most important game of the year. Brown is a dangerous, dangerous team here. I know Princeton is the elite team and the better team. I expect the sports books around Vegas to list this game, probably Princeton, I don't know, 8 favorite, right? A comfortable 2.5 basket favorite, sure. But Brown is a live dog. They have won 6 games in a row. They're playing their best basketball. They're playing their best offensive basketball. They have found extra outlets on that side of the ball. If there's anybody that could give Princeton trouble in this spot, Brown is it. You want a futures bet of taking Brown, I can't argue with you here. Princeton's elite 24-3 record will shield people away from what Brown has done. And Princeton is the elite team. I would make an argument, and I have made an argument on my Fox Sports show in Las Vegas, that Princeton should get an at-large bid. If they lose this tournament, they should still get in at 24, 25, 26-3, whatever it is. I still think that they should get in, even if they don't win the Ivies. But Brown is a legitimate threat. You also go to the 11 a.m. start. I know it's weird, but look, it does throw people off. It throws the games off. So Saturday, 11 a.m., Princeton, you're on upset alert. I think Princeton comes out winning this game. I do. I think Princeton's going to have a real... Look, we just talked about Brown's tough games. Brown was losing a lot of tight, close, tough games, and then they started winning those tight, close, tough games. They have the fortitude. I want to pick Brown, because I want to have a little fun, but the smart money here is Princeton. The probably going to be a close game, a close winner, 5-point winner, 4-point winner, something like that. I think Princeton has just enough to get by. Now let's go on to the 2 o'clock game following that one. 20-9 Yale, 11-3 in the Ivy against 22-6 Cornell, 11-3 in the Ivy. Here we go. I have argued that if Cornell loses this game, okay, I can understand them not getting a bid if Princeton goes on and wins. But if Cornell wins this game, you got 23 wins. I think Cornell should be, I think this should be a too big league. And you start to look at this and you go, okay, Yale came into the season. I told you that they were the best team in the league. I thought that they were the best team in conference. They had the best offensive player. They had the best defensive player. And I think that we have watched Yale over the course of the year show what I watched. But they also at times just faded under the pressure. You start off early in the year. Look, the loss to Gonzaga at Gonzaga. I know Gonzaga wasn't the same team this year. Still top 25 team in that building. They played well, but lost by 15. But they played well. You lost to Weber State. That doesn't look so bad. They did win against Colgate. Again, a tournament team, and they beat up on Colgate. They held Colgate to 50 points. They held Colgate to 50 points, guys. A loss against Rhode Island on the road stinks. A loss against Vermont and then Fairfield. But none of these are terrible losses. And you go to Kansas, lose the Bill Self there, 75-60. All right, it is what it is. You know, you have to just kind of accept those are going to be losses. You go into conference play. 80 points against Brown, 89 against Columbia, 76 against Dartmouth, 78 against Harvard. You beat Princeton, beat Cornell putting up 80. They are rolling into conference play, where they're rolling off, not to continue to use the term, rolling off 10 games straight, 8 games in conference play. They had a hiccup. They went to Princeton, to Cornell, two tough places to play, and they lost both games, 73-62 to Princeton, 65-62 to Cornell in a real tight game. In a game that Yale wanted to play that style. Came back, you beat up on Columbia, 80 points against Columbia, 80 points against Dartmouth, 80 points against Harvard. And then they lost to Brown, still put up 81 points. So the offense is not the problem. It's the defense that at times could let them down. And you see that at times, giving up 78 to Cornell in the first meeting. But they held Cornell to 65 points and lost that game. Look, the thing about this team that you look at, and you could talk about Danny Wolfe and his 14 points a game, and 48.5% free throws or field goal percentage. Yeah, fantastic stuff. The thing about Yale is this. They are finding ways to lose. And it's not an explainable way. At times, their defense looks a little lackadaisical, and then they shut them down. Their offense can't score. They are finding ways to lose. Yale is still one of the more talented teams, maybe in the country. I mean, they, when you're talking about the pure talent level of Yale, they should not be in this position. They should be the number one team. They shouldn't have lost 9 games. They shouldn't be 20-9. They should be 25-4. I mean, they should be looking at a Princeton type of schedule and a Princeton type of record, but they're not. And you start to ask yourself when you get into tournament time, is this a spot where you're looking into the tournament and you're saying, okay, Yale is going to continue to lose because this is what they've done all year. They find new ways to lose. They find ways to not show up on one end of the court. Or is it, all right, now the tournament's here. They're going to get their head focused, and then they're going to turn around and not find ways to lose. That brings us to Cornell. Before the year began, I touted Cornell. I said their offense can carry them. I thought the offense can carry them, but it was just give me a little bit of defense. I could not be more impressed with what I watched with Cornell this year, although it spiraled out of control at certain points, I still feel okay about them. Look, they came out winning 3 straight, lost to George Mason, where they put up, you know, they let up 90. Okay, the defense just let up too much. Came back, won another 4, so they won 7 in the first 8 games, lost at Syracuse. Gave up 81 to a Syracuse team and a bad Syracuse team. All right, turn around, rolling off 90s in a row. They did beat Colgate. At Baylor, they lose. Let up 98 there. Again, not a bad loss because it's Baylor, but you look at when they lose games, giving up 90, 98, 81. Now they get into conference play. They roll over Columbia and Penn at home, Brown, Wells College. They beat Princeton. They beat up on Princeton in that game at home. Took on Dartmouth and Harvard on the road. Scored 89 against Harvard in that game. They should have beaten Yale. They should have won that game. They lost 80-78 going to Yale. Came back, defended against Harvard again. Dartmouth again, Yale again, getting that 65-62 win was really nice. lost against Brown, lost their focus. One of the biggest disappointment games of the season. They were 11.5-point favorites at home after they had an opportunity to fully control the number one seed. I'll get back to that in a minute. Took on Penn, and then you have Princeton in a tough 2-point loss. Columbia, they put up 98, and they won the last game of the year. So here's what you look at with this Big Red team. Manning, Williams, I mean, they go, everybody can score on this team, right? They go many deep, Caden Pierce. You look at who this team is and what their problems might be. Well, their problems clearly might be on defense. When they lose, they give up a ton of points. Yeah, sure. But I also worry about the big stage. In their losses, they lost by their last three losses. They lost by 2, by 4, and by 2. Their biggest game of any of their careers came after they won. They turned around. They won a huge game against Yale. And they lost at home as an 11.5-point favorite against Brown. In a game that, by the way, it shouldn't have been that close. Brown just destroyed them in that game. So what do you believe with Cornell here? Do you believe that they're the team? Can you throw away losses against Baylor, at Syracuse, even at George Mason earlier this season? Sure. But how can I overlook the fact that they crumbled when the biggest time was on them, when the spotlight was on them? How can I turn around and overlook the fact that this team lost three games at the end of the year in conference by one basket, and two baskets? If it's a close game, how do you take Cornell? If it's a close game, how do you go anywhere near Cornell? But we just talked about Yale and their inability to basically close out, their inability to just, they find ways to lose. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, I think this is a coin flip type of game. If you're giving me points, Yale's going to be the favorite here. If you're giving me any points for Cornell, 2 points, 3 points, I'll probably just jump on it because I think it's going to be a close game. So what do we do? Do we take Yale who finds ways to lose, or do we take Cornell who cannot win under the big lights and now they're under the big lights? I'm putting the gauntlet down to Cornell and I'm saying, no, they are going to win this one. I think that they are the better team. I think that they're the better team all year long. They're the team that needs that win. I think they're going to get it. They're going to get that big win, which sets up then Cornell against Princeton in the final. Now, if Yale goes there, I wouldn't be surprised. Hey, if Brown goes there, I wouldn't be surprised. Cornell, Princeton to the final. I have been on Cornell all year long. I believe that this Cornell team is a team that can win this conference and win this game on Sunday. I do. I am rooting for Cornell. I will take points with Cornell against Yale and against Princeton. I am doing everything I can to Cornell, but it's just nearly impossible for me to sit here and tell you guys that Princeton's not the best team in this conference. They've proven it over and over again. Are they susceptible? Yes, they could go down in round one to Brown. They could lose to Yale. Sure. They could lose to Cornell. Absolutely. Do I think that they are still the best team in the Ivies? As of right now, yeah, they are. They are. They're the best team in the Ivies. They're the most experienced team in the Ivies going into the tournament. They are a team that hasn't just done it in the Ivies, the 24-3 overall. They have the pedigree for everything that we're talking about. Princeton should be that team. I have a feeling, though, we're going to see a little chaos. And maybe it's Brown winning on day one on Saturday. Maybe it's Cornell taking down Yale and Cornell lifting it up. I would love to see this conference get two bids. I've been talking about it for a long time. Maybe this is the year. But in order for them to get two bids, I think Princeton has to go down. I don't think it happens. Man, I think that we're going to have a pretty good finale here. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me. I'm Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. Enjoy your Ivy League weekend. I will give you a preview of what team is moving on into the brackets next week. Have a very good week, everybody.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.